I'm Hugh.
I'm Linda.
Together we're Hinda.
And this is Hindacast.
Who do you think is going to cough the most?
Oh, I definitely think it's going to be you. I think I'm hopefully over the worst of it, Hugh.
We are not well.
We're not well.
Oh, well, two of us are not well this time.
This house is like a small hospital. It's ridiculous. And neither of us are going to have a voice left at the end of the weekend, but there you go.
There you go. Life goes on and Maths UK goes on. Episodes 25 to 28. Commitment ceremony, couple swaps, dinner party and the first homestay. Commitment ceremony and dinner party we can forget about, I think. They're getting boring at this stage.
It's funny, like when you talk about it, I'm kind of listening to you thinking, such a lot has happened, and yet it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I struggled to remember what happened during the week. And that's nothing to do with being sick.
I thought the couple swaps were interesting, and I thought there was more insight into each couple's relationship than when they did it in the Australian one. I thought that worked out quite well.
Well, I certainly think that it did work out for some of the couples in that some of them actually learned something about themselves and about their partner and what they want from the relationship going forward.
Yeah, and the homestays were good too.
Yeah, ish. Who do you want to start with?
Mark and Sean, they are no more. I'm not really sure why.
I don't know why either. Like, I know we did see a steady decline, but it's like as if something happened with those two. And, you know, there was a turning point and then everything just kind of cascaded down after that. But I don't know what that turning point was.
Yeah.
You know, because they did go from Sean being absolutely crazy about Mark, and then Mark was starting to let his walls down, and bang, at that kind of retreat thing where the sticker twist.
Yeah.
Out of the blue, he said he'd twist, and they never got back on track after that.
Was it, like I said last week, was it the case of there wasn't a chase anymore?
I don't know. I think with Mark, there's always going to be a chase, because Mark needs acts of service. He needs kind of constant kind of encouragement and things like that. And he did say from the very beginning, he was kind of reluctant to let his walls down.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Was he just kind of feeding us a line? Is he very, very needy and Sean wasn't willing to put up with it?
Yeah.
Certainly Sean seemed to love it in the beginning.
Anyway, look, it's all over now. It was quite sad when he said, "You said in your vows you wouldn't hurt me and you have." I thought that was sad.
Look, I thought the vows were sad when he said that in the first place, like, oh, you know, promise not to hurt me kind of stuff. And I was like, look, with everybody's best intentions, they don't set out to hurt anybody else.
No, no.
But sometimes it happens, and that's life.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with it. And he's 36 years of age.
All is not fair in love and war and all that.
So they say.
Jay and Luke went out as well.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. They have just been on a downward spiral for the last 2 weeks or so, haven't they?
Yes, and it's because of Luke and its attitude. Also because of Jay, because Jay should have called him out on it a long time before now. And I know we heard her talk and saying, oh no, I'm this and I'm that and I'll stand up for myself and I won't let him away with this and I won't let him away with that. She did.
Yeah.
She did.
He was putting on an act for weeks and weeks, wasn't he? And the mask just slipped.
He just literally just couldn't do it anymore.
No.
And he really showed his true colours. I think it was always kind of simmering beneath the surface. But I think even like when he actually went to Erica and Jordan's door and pounded the door down, like that was shocking. And Jay didn't even tackle him over that.
No, no.
You know, what would you have said if that was me?
I'd been horrified, absolutely horrified. But it was really second nature to him. I mean, he never sort of came out to the corridor and went, oh God, what have I done or anything like that. It was just like, oh, all in a day's work.
Yeah. If I was Jay, like I would have been saying, what the hell was that? You goddamn animal who acts like that. You know, how dare you? You made a show of me. You made a show of us. You made a show of yourself. Yeah. Oh, and I would have stormed off and I would be done with that because, you know, at the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, if he could do that to someone else, potentially he could do it to me, one of my family.
Yeah.
Like, would I want to be somebody with a temper like that? No.
Yeah. Before we gave Mark and Sean 4 and 3, so they were kind of on low scores, Jay and Luke had 6 and 4. So, you know, but it was down from the dizzying heights of before, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think, I might have been a little bit optimistic now with the 6, but I was kind of thinking they will get the final vows. I couldn't imagine them staying together in the end. And I did think they were a genuine couple. But like I said, what's it, 6 weeks in now and the mask starts to slip.
Yeah. These guys had their first row, Tasha and Paul.
And it seems like an absolute humdinger. Let's talk about masks slipping again. Like, I knew again that that was simmering beneath the surface. I knew exactly what Tasha was like. I called it. And she just can't keep up the charade.
My memory is we called that on the beach in Port del Carmen all those weeks ago, that Tasha's real nature was going to come out eventually. And Paul would say, uh-oh, I don't want any part in that.
Well, I think Paul absolutely got a shock. I think he was genuinely shocked and horrified. So we don't know what the row was about. I don't think we ever found out, did we?
He can't even remember what the row was about.
It was over something very small.
That's a sign that this is going to be part of his daily life.
Yeah.
With her.
And she got up in his face and she was screaming into his face. But, you know, we've seen it with the clothes and trying to change him and, you know, the way she spoke to him and the way she'd look at him and things like that. It was, I don't know. She needs to be the top dog or something.
She's a volatile person. We saw that with Erica at the retreat.
And she freely admits to that. She says she's fiery and she's passionate, but she's also abusive and obviously violent.
Well, we don't know violent now, in fairness.
Well, I don't know. I think she has potential because she literally stuck it up to Erica.
Yeah, she's not far off it. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and we don't know what happened with Paula. Paul was so shocked about.
Shall we go to the scores? Last time we both gave them 5.
I'm not as optimistic for these two. Although, later on in the week, they seem to be very united later on in the week. Still not entirely happy. Tasha was with JJ, wasn't she, for the swap?
I can't remember one bit of it.
No, I can't. And I remember Ross being with Paul.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I know that Paul told Ross about what happened and said that himself and Tasha weren't in a great place, but... again, there's just nothing sticking with me.
It's like it's internal politics with them and they weren't really discussing it.
Which is admirable in one way. Like, you like to see that, you know, you kind of don't air your dirty laundry in public.
Yeah.
But,
Where are you going with the scores?
I think I'm going to drop to 4.
Yeah.
I do really think that now the mask has slipped. I don't think she can keep it under control. It's 6 weeks now.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to drop down to 4 as well.
So going 4 and 4 and those two?
Yeah, I think going down to 2 or 3, it'd be too drastic because they are kind of one of the success stories of this year.
They certainly have been one of the success stories of this year. Yeah. They have been fairly steady. But maybe that's because Tasha wasn't letting Paul see the real Tasha.
One couple who definitely seemed to be the success story of this year are Roz and Thomas. Roz went to couple swap with Paul and Thomas went couple swap with Laura.
Yeah, I Thomas and Laura were so well suited. Oh my God, like I actually couldn't believe it. They just looked so together, didn't they? They looked like they belonged together. The language, the tone of voice, the accents, you know, the way they act socially, the things that they want, they're just so well suited.
Yeah.
But again, Laura was putting down Arthur.
Well, we'll come on to them in a minute. But yeah, you're definitely right. There's no romance in a million years, I don't think, between Laura and Thomas, is there?
Oh God, no, I can't. No. I think she probably would have liked to be matched up with Thomas. I think she probably feels that there would have been more sense in it. And maybe if there were, something could have developed between them, but they weren't. So Thomas is with Roz. They seem to be getting on like an absolute house on fire.
Yes.
I think walls have come tumbling down there. A little bit concerned about Roz's preoccupation with sex.
Oh my God. Well, preoccupation with sex toys.
Sex toys and sex.
And we had a sex toy at the dinner party, which we've never had before.
That was interesting. That was hilarious. That was very funny. It was very funny the way the experts picked up on it immediately. Like, it took me a kind of couple of seconds to understand what was going on.
I think there was a bit of a tip off there.
There had to have been. Yeah, there had to have been. And then when they showed the clips, like when it was completely obvious what was going on. But that was funny. I did enjoy that part.
It was a bit of humour and it was something different.
And did we hear a noise? Was there a bit of a buzzing noise as well underneath the table?
I think that might have been added in by
possibly, the crew. Possibly. But yeah, she just seems to be kind of, you'd never think it to look at her, would you? She's a real girl next door.
Once that side came out, it was just out there and it was just nonstop.
Yeah. She doesn't, but she's obviously a very sexual person. She enjoys sex. She seems to enjoy sex with Thomas. So again, all good there. Right. I'm trying to think what happened on their homestay.
Oh, well, the homestay, you had Thomas's mam who taught the world of Roz.
Morag. Yeah. She's lovely, isn't she? She's nice.
Yeah.
So they went to Thomas's parents' house, obviously. And Morag came and she taught the world of Roz. She mentioned something. She made a throwaway comment about children. And that seemed to spook Roz.
Yeah. It was like, look, the poor woman was saying in the future, I'd like grandchildren. She wasn't saying next week.
It was literally just a comment. Yeah, it was just a comment. But it definitely did spook Roz. I thought Roz maybe overreacted to that slightly.
You wouldn't want to be in Irish culture the way there's such an importance on grandchildren and all of that kind of thing. We're a little more upfront even than the UK.
So, like, for now, yeah, I think they're getting on like a house on fire. I think, you know, certainly Thomas More, I could see Roz in their lives.
Mm, but you're forgetting about the trailer. The trailer seems to show that when it goes the other way around and Thomas is in Roz's place, there's a lot of fire and friction.
Yeah.
Should we include that in our marker?
I don't want to, but I think we have to. You've seen it. I mean, I kind of wish I didn't watch the trailers, to be honest with you. And I could be completely honest about my mark, because before I saw the trailers, I would have been sticking with my 8. Mm. And now that I've seen the trailers and potentially, you know, that there's disaster looming for those two, I have to drop it down to 6.
Yeah. Ooh, 6? You're dropping down 2. Okay.
Can't unsee it.
I'll just drop down 1. And the reason being that, look, it's just a trailer. They show you the dramatic bit. For all we know, they could have made up and been having fun in the hay within 5 minutes. So
there you go.
Laura and Arthur, we touched on them a moment ago. Lucia and
Cam, wasn't it?
Cam. They are something else.
They are.
There's 2 sides to it, though, because let's face it, he just wasn't thinking about the future at all, was he?
No, he wasn't. But I think they laid traps for him. I really do. I mean, I have encountered somebody like Arthur before. And I've also encountered people like Cam and Lucia before.
We all have.
Yeah, it's like as if they know that they're kind of, well, they certainly come across as stronger and intellectually more intelligent than Arthur, certainly in terms of social play.
Yeah, but they do look down on him. There's no doubt about it. The 100%. Faces they make, the way they speak to him, there's a lot of that. But let's face it, he played right into the hands.
That's my point.
And he must have known that he's going to meet them and they're going to say, have you thought much about your future? What's your plans after the show? Because at the end of the day, we've only 2 weeks to go now.
But you see, the thing about it is, Hugh, I genuinely think that he felt, well, if I say, oh yeah, myself and I are going to move in together and we're going to get married and going to have kids and this and the other, they'd be saying, what? Like, you know, oh my God, like you said, you loved her at the altar and that was a sham. And now you're saying you're actually going to move in together. You don't even know each other. You haven't lived in her life, you know. So I think he was damned either way.
I take a slightly different view. I think he was spoiling for the fight, to be honest with you. I think he went there ready for them and he just isn't happy. I even think the way he was dressed, there's just something in it. He was there for the row.
He's not able for them. He thought he was going to stand up for himself, but socially he's not able for them. You know, they're streets ahead of him. They are smart cookies. They were manipulating.
I don't know.
They're like a tag team.
I don't know. I thought he battered them away pretty well. I thought he did. But
no, I don't think he did. I think he was aggressive with them.
Okay.
I think he came across as aggressive. And that's not smart.
Fair enough. But Laura can be in no doubt now that Arthur is not going to fit in her social world. If she had any doubts before, she just knows now. There's no doubts now.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I did say that there was no way that they're going to fit in together. It's just not going to happen. That he would embarrass her socially. And here we are, first outing, and what does he do? Embarrass her socially.
Yeah.
She'd have to just be sitting on him the whole time. And again, I have had experience of something like that. It's not a nice situation to be in. You're constantly kind of checking on your partner and seeing what they're saying and what they're doing. So no, don't envy her. It's not going to work. I think she should run for the hills.
Ooh. Well, you gave a low mark before. You gave 4 before. Are you going to drop it further?
Yeah, I'm going to drop it to 2.
Wow. Well, I was at the dizzying heights of 7. And the reason being that I was saying, well, yeah, I don't think they'll last very long in the outside world, but I think they'll say yes for final vows. And that's what we're voting on. That's what I gave to 7. I'd have to have doubts now about whether they'll even say yes. I think Laura might just be turning around to him and saying, look, I gave you every chance and you kept on throwing it back in my face. And Laura could reject him at final vows. Now, I can really see that happening. So I am going to drop down, not as far as 2, but I'll drop down to 3.
I think you have to look at what the other participants think of the relationship. None of them think it's going to work. None of them. Not one of them have come out in support of Laura and Arthur.
Yeah.
The complete opposite, in fact.
Yeah.
And then her friends, they have also come out against the relationship.
Don't want to give them the time of day. Yeah.
It was interesting as well. I was actually dying to see where Laura lived, the homestay.
That was very strange. Yeah, all we got was, again, some place in Chelsea. I mean, you know, she's so one-dimensional what we see of her, isn't it?
Yeah, with Thomas. What did they do? They went out for a meal in Chelsea.
Yeah, that wasn't a proper couple swap at all.
No, it wasn't. And then with meeting the friends again, I mean, they went out during the homestay to know nothing about her home, nothing about where she lived, how she lived, anything like that. And I love that about homestay. I love seeing the houses and where they live and how they live and, you know, quite quite often you're quite shocked and whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting couple, Adrienne and Matt. Where are we going with these two?
Downward. Quickly.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
quickly.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Every day, every hour, every minute, she's fancying Matt less and less. And the more he says everything is good, we're going in the right direction, the more she gets annoyed.
Do you think she's, you know, not fancying Matt, but fancying George?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely seem to be a pretty good couple, didn't they? I mean, she didn't like the thought of them at all when it started.
No, but they got on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
And George is everything that Matt's not. Now, which would I rather have? Matt, 100%.
Yeah.
Matt, I think, look at, he's, I know he might come across a little bit boring, but he is trying and he's steady and he's mad about her and he's easy on the eye.
He's a bit of a meathead.
I think, well, there's nothing wrong with that sometimes as well, you know, just, but she just wants the whole nine yards. She wants somebody who's bubbly and vivacious and keep up with her energy and, you know, again, work out in the gym and all of these kind of things. You have to compromise on something.
Yeah.
You know, no partnership has everything the other person wants. I mean, I'm sure I don't have everything that you want, Hugh, and you
nearly.
Probably don't have everything that I want, but pretty close. You know what I mean? And that's the same in most partnerships, and you have to work at things together. But I think she just wants the full package.
Is it just as simple as this? Does she just have an ick?
Yeah, you said that when we were watching and I agreed with it. I said, yeah, that's it, Hugh. She has an ick.
He's just irritating her now.
And there's no going back from the ick.
Yeah, he's just irritating her. You can see it. And the more he tries to get things back and sort things, the more he annoys her.
Definitely. I think, I think we need to reflect the ick in our scores. So we gave them 7 and 6 the last time.
You gave them 7, I gave them 6. Yeah, that's very high scores, you know, when you think about it.
We didn't have their homestay, sure. We didn't see their homestay.
No.
No, we saw the trailer for next week. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Interesting to see how they get on at the homestays. Because the homestays, I think, can make or break a couple as well.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to bring it back down to 4.
Ooh, oh, big drop again.
I've had the ick. There's no going back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd go further. I'd go 2.
Oh.
Drop 4. I just think, yeah, that one's gone.
Oh.
That one's gone.
Well, they're not getting much help from the experts either.
Oh, just not. I mean, that's why the commitment ceremony is almost pointless. I know we said it in the last podcast, and forgive me for repeating myself. I mean, my God, they're not getting any real advice. They're not getting the grilling.
At the commitment
ceremony.
There's
no difficult, at the commitment ceremony. There's no difficult questions. Paul probably says the least of any of the experts.
Well, he did give them advice, and his advice to them was be grateful for each other. List the things that you're grateful for during the day. It's like,
yeah, but he gives advice, airy-fairy advice, but he never really grills anybody or holds anybody to account for anything. Because we keep saying he's no John.
No, he's not holding, and none of them are holding anybody to account. Just talking about that commitment ceremony, what the hell was Mel wearing? That pink ensemble that she had on her.
Oh, God. And then Charlene's the week before.
Yeah, it was like red from the week before.
It was like something from Flash Gordon in 1980.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder who the stylist is this year. Not doing a very good job.
It's quite flamboyant, to say the least.
Oh.
A couple who are definitely flamboyant, well, the lady is Ella and JJ. We're getting a lot more of Ella and JJ.
Interesting.
It is kind of interesting, but it's sort of absurd. It's the great UK kind of absurd stuff. I almost thought I was back in 90 Day Fiancé when they went around to the nanny's place. That was good.
Well, question, Hugh.
Okay.
Are you surprised that they haven't had sex?
I'm amazed they haven't had sex. I thought they'd have sex within 5 minutes.
So did I.
Yeah.
I thought they'd have sex before they came back into the ceremony. I thought they'd meet up outside of the ceremony or outside of the show and that they would have rampant sex.
Yeah. No.
Yeah,
there's issues there. But look, we're getting good fun along the way.
We are getting good fun along the way. I love the nanny. She's lovely,
yes,
isn't she?
Although,
she should have her own show.
She should have her own clothes. The poor woman was sitting in her dressing gown, though.
Who does that?
Yeah.
That's so degrading and humiliating for the woman. And she obviously seems to be compos mentis.
Yes.
She was sitting in her own home and she's on national television in a dressing gown.
Mm.
Why would you do that?
She's great crack.
She has insight as well.
She could present this morning, she could.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
I said she should have her own show. She'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
And she's so well spoken as well. I think she's just lovely. And yes, I'm sure Ella does have a great relationship with her and that's nice to see and Ella loves taking care of her. That's Ella's full-time job actually, isn't it? She's a carer for
Yes. I don't know. It's a little bit confusing what exactly Ella does, but there you go.
Yeah, because there was the stripping thing.
Yeah.
So is she still doing that or what?
There's definitely media future for Ella. There's no two ways about it. And actually, with the nanny, it'd be good too. If you could wheel the two of them together, I think there'd be a good guess.
Yeah, yeah. And they do, certainly Ella and JJ kind of do seem to be united. Then we heard JJ telling his friend that he saw some things about Ella, he experienced some things and how she spoke to him and how she spoke to other people. And
The drinking. And yeah. We heard that before from Nathaniel.
Yeah, yeah. She just seems to morph into a different person.
Yeah.
Again, we've no experience of that. Everything that we're hearing is secondhand.
All the best parts of the show are off camera.
Yeah, well, look.
If we could only see those pieces, it would be so much better show.
It would, yeah, I agree with you. And it'd give us a more rounded view of the participants as well.
Mm.
So, look, even Ella alluded to the fact that there were issues and she's saying, oh, I'm not going to drink very much and I'm going to be careful about what I say.
Yeah, I wouldn't give that too long.
I'm going to engage my brain before I open my mouth and all of this kind of stuff. She was absolutely conscious. So there had to have been words. Something had to have happened that brought this to a head.
Mm.
But I think JJ is probably kind of saying to himself, oh, hang on for a second. This isn't as rosy as I thought it was going to be. But he's still sticking with it because he doesn't want to have two failed marriages because he looked like a total prick.
Yeah.
No, sorry, he is a total prick. He looked like an even bigger total prick.
Okay, last time you gave him three.
Hang on. Well, not finished
okay.
with JJ.
All right, okay, go on, carry on about JJ.
When they went
And his mate. Don't forget his mate.
Yeah, but hang on. When they went to JJ's house, I liked his counter and his splashback.
Yes.
I'd love to know where he got that.
And I liked the carpet.
Yeah, but the counter and splashback. JJ, if you're listening and you want to just kind of email us and let us know where you got that, I'm all ears. Just saying. Moving on.
Linda's homewares. Oh, gas.
I know.
You gave them three, I gave them seven. Where do we want to be?
I'm sticking on three. I'm not optimistic. Sorry, I'm just not.
Will they say yes? It's about saying yes. I'm a little less. Just depends whether Ella can keep off the drink.
And then the sex talk as well. That's obviously making them uncomfortable. And a couple of people have said it. And it came up in those letters as well, that at the dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
Was that at the dinner party?
Yeah, we haven't touched them. Yeah, they obviously affected us.
Yeah, not. But it did come up in the letter, so she needs to tone it down. So,
yeah.
Again, hinting at stuff that's gone on behind the scenes. Because I wouldn't have thought in what we've seen of them that she's gone on about sex so much, but she obviously is.
Okay. I will slip back just a little, slip back to five.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, Erica and Jordan, my God, they certainly arouse opinions. They give opinions and arouse opinions, them bear. If you ever look at social media.
Well, I don't look at social media, number one. No. That's the first thing, because I don't want my opinion to be diluted.
Okay.
The second thing is I kind of feel a bit sorry for them. I do. I think that they're young, they're naive. They think, well, certainly Erica thinks she's all that in a bag of crisps. But you're not really. There's a naivety and an immaturity between the two of them. I think they're way out of their depth. They're kind of, they're little minnows swimming with the sharks.
I don't know. I think Erica kind of has it together. And I don't know. I don't think that about Erica. I think the poor Jordan lad now has a little bit of growing up to do.
He's too honest for his own good.
Yeah. And it was interesting with the mam's insight as well. She seemed like a sensible lady. She knew him pretty well. Mothers do.
He obviously does have issues. He admitted that he gets up in his own head. Erica acknowledges it and is genuinely trying to help him. Will he let her?
She was doing her best. And, you know, the row that they had was a classic one where poor communication was at fault because he didn't want to do couple swap. She stood by him. She didn't go mad. She didn't call him names. She didn't blame him. But she did feel an element of sadness when it came to the dinner party and she heard other couples speaking about their experiences.
No, hang on
and
for a
that's
second.
Okay.
Laura 100% absolutely manipulated that situation. And that was Laura trying to get her own back on Jordan, trying to drive a wedge between two of them because of what he said about them the previous weeks.
Laura did make it worse. Yeah, I know. But I still think that Erica had an issue with the other people talking about couple swaps. Jordan needed to say, I know, and I'm sorry that you feel that sadness, but I really do appreciate you standing by me.
They're not exclusive. Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I think it was the fact of where she raised it because he was genuinely blindsided.
Yeah.
And she did kind of come across as a little bit aggressive when she brought the subject up. And she was blaming him that she didn't get to experience it. And yeah, it was his fault because she was ultimately supporting his decision. But she didn't give him, they didn't talk about it. She didn't give him an opportunity to apologise. And I agree with what he said. I can't apologise for how I feel. I can apologise for how it makes you feel, but I can't apologise for how I feel, and I won't. So, I think
it was a while before he came to that. It was a while. He didn't do that straight away. The row had to fester on for a damn good while before he was willing to say, I'll apologise for how you were made to feel.
Again, it's not an excuse for Jordan. I'm not sticking up for him by any stretch of imagination because he does have a lot of growing up to do, but it's how he processes things. You know, and different people process things in different ways. He can't react. He is very honest. He wears his heart on his sleeves and he just needs to kind of take a step back and consider things. And he wasn't given opportunity to do that.
He's very black and white.
Very, very black and white.
Yeah. Okay, we gave them high scores. You gave them 7, I gave them 8. What do you want to do now, Linda?
I'm still optimistic for them, believe it or not. I know in the homestays, they still weren't really getting on. God, wasn't her grandparents' house gorgeous?
Wasn't it?
I know we didn't see much of it, but the outside is like, is that a block of flats?
It was fun, though, when Jordan and the granddad were meant to take the glasses away and just sort of shuffled out, never to be seen again in the scene.
I thought it was funny when Erica said, and if we can have more alcohol or something. And he said, yeah. No, you're not getting any more alcohol. Neither did your gran. That was good. I think that's something like my parents would say. Certainly my dad would say about my mum.
Good characters.
So what are we going to give them?
Okay, I gave them 8 last time. I have to look at that 8. Seriously have to look at that 8. I think I need to drop back to 5.
I'm going to go 6 because, as I say, I'm optimistic. I'm still optimistic. I still have hope for them.
I've been a bit pessimistic now the last few scores, haven't I? Some big drops there.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Okay, last couple we're going to talk about, Peggy and Georges.
So you had a big issue with these two. And I remember you kind of saying to me during the week, Peggy has just delivered a masterclass in gaslighting Georges.
Yeah, totally.
I can't say I saw that. And I'm probably the only one in the world who didn't see it.
I think so, yeah.
Very unpopular opinion, but there you go. Who am I to shy away from an unpopular opinion?
Oh, Linda, everything was his fault. It really was. It was his character, his lifestyle, his personality, all of that was stopping them being a happy couple. He needed to change. Everything about him needed to change. Except, of course, when she was paired with Matt at the couple swap. All of a sudden then, he was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, absolutely. It's like all of a sudden he's not there and she realises how much she misses him.
And when she saw his place, she had a different opinion of him as well.
She did. Very fickle as our Peggy.
Picky Peggy.
Yeah, she's very fickle and picky, yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't know. Like, I know the whole issue when we laughed and joked about it so many times, whereas the whole sex thing, I was saying they're never going to have sex. It's just not going to happen for them. You know, he went out, he bought a lingerie when he was with Adrienne.
That's right.
She loved it. And he did say at dinner party, oh yeah, it'll sit in a box for however long. But like, I mean, it is lovely.
And then we get to the scene. There she is, sitting up in the bed, drinking coffee with full makeup on.
Yeah.
Which is very strange. We thought, and everybody thought they'd done the deed, but they hadn't.
They still hadn't. Yeah, and you were saying to me, oh, there you go, Linda, you'll be eating your words on the podcast now. And they've had sex and, you know, and she was going, I needed that last night. We both needed it last night. So I'm thinking, okay, well, they must have had sex. I was obviously wrong. And then lo and behold, we discovered that they didn't. What is she waiting for?
Dare you even think what they got up to?
No, I don't. Oh, God, no, please don't. No, I don't want to know.
Low scores from you for them last time. Higher score for me. I gave them 5. You gave them 3. I am going to, do you know something? I'll be controversial. I'll go up to 6. I think they'll just fake it.
I'm going to stay at three.
Okay.
And can I just say about next week? Yet I am absolutely dying to see Peggy's house. But that's a country mansion.
Oh, it is.
That looks huge.
Yeah. And all the dad's antiques.
Yeah. No, so I'm looking forward to it. And then Peggy's bed. Did you see that? It was like a fairy princess bed.
Oh, yeah.
I want one of those.
That'll be good. Hopefully we'll be able to talk a lot better.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah.
Anyway, keep telling your friends about the podcast when you're talking about the show. Our listeners are increasing by the week, by the day. It's great. Thank you very much.
And again, keep the emails coming in. We love to hear from you guys. If you have any questions about anything or want our opinion that we haven't already given, just send us an email, reach out to us, and we'll be happy to talk to you. Thanks so much, everyone.
Keep watching Maths UK.
Laters.
Bye for now.
Before you go, just a quick request. Please like and subscribe to our podcast. And if you can, pop on a notification. That way you'll know when our podcast drops. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, You can email us on IndicastReality@gmail.com. IndicastReality@gmail.com.